Seal Test Variety Theater. Yes, it's Seal Test Variety Theater with Henry Russell and his orchestra, the crew chief's quartet, that New York character who usually hangs out at Duffy's Tavern, Ed Archie Gardner, and one of Hollywood's top personalities, Cornell Wilde. And here she is, our gal Thursday, the singing star of our show, Dorothy L'Amour.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to another star-studded evening at the Seal Test Variety Theater. You know, it isn't every girl who is paid a visit on the same evening by two such charming men. So without wasting any more time, I'm going to call them right out. Cornell Wilde and Ed Archie Gardner.
Hello, Dottie. Hiya, Dottie.
And thanks for the nice things you said, Dottie. May I kiss your hand?
Why, certainly, Cornell.
Well, out of the way, Ed. There's man's work to be done.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Would you mind saving just about three fingers for me?
Why, Ed, I didn't know you were the hand-kissing type.
Are you kidding? I'm so genteel, I even do it through gloves.
Well, I should have brought my motorman's mitt.
Look, Dottie. Dottie, the hand, please.
Yeah. Oh, now, wait a minute, Ed. You said hand. You're kissing my elbow.
You got to admit it's a step in the right direction.
Say, Ed, is this something new with you? Since when have you taken over the romance department?
You think you got a monopoly? In fact, as far as our respectable physio-monogamics are concerned, I think there's very little to choose. Don't you think so, Dottie?
Well, Ed, I'd say that is...
Just a minute now. We'll settle this man to man. Cornell, how tall are you?
6'1".
I'm 6'1". How much do you weigh?
175.
I weigh 175. How much you around a waist?
31.
I'm 31. See, Dottie? Exactly alike.
Yeah, well, what about your faces?
I should have quit when I was even.
Oh, forget it, Ed. People can't help what they look like.
Look, Miss L'Amour, it might interest you to know that I was to a big party the other night at Sam Spiegel's, and there happened to be a very prominent movie star there, and yet every dame in the place says that I was better looking than he was.
By the way, how is Wallace Beery?
He's fine. In fact, he was the one that said it.
Oh, come, come, boys. That's the end of round one. You'll get another chance at each other later.
Thank you, Dottie, Cornell, and Eddie. And now a suggestion for 49 that will make your faces light up and shine.
Get the best, get Seal Test.
What a dish. What a smooth number.
That's what they say about Seal Test, the nation's number one ice cream. It's always extra smooth and creamy, never icy or coarse. And you know why? Because one of the secrets of really smooth ice cream is speed in freezing. And Seal Test ice cream is frozen fast, in less than a minute. In creamy, fine-grained texture, rich, full flavor, and pure goodness, there is no ice cream that matches Seal Test, the outstanding quality leader of the nation. So whenever you crave ice cream,
get the best, get Seal Test.
Along about 1927, when Calvin Coolidge was in the White House and saying nothing, when Dempsey was battling Tunney and Bobby Jones was beating all comers, there was a certain little robin that just kept bobbing along. Lately, he's bobbed up again, and our own Dorothy L'Amour has taken him under her wing.
When the red, red robin comes bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Wake up, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get up, get out of bed. Cheer up,
cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
When the robins bob along, no more sobbing when he starts robbing his happy song.
Oh. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Out of 20th Century Fox, they have a young man that they're awfully proud of. And they certainly have a right to be, for in a few short years he has made such outstanding pictures as Song to Remember and Roadhouse, plus his forthcoming picture, Shockproof, Cornell Wilde.
Gee, thanks, Dottie.
Really, Cornell, you're one of my very favorite actors.
Oh, now you're only saying that.
No.
No? Well, I could have sworn somebody said it.
Well, Cornell, you're going to have a chance to do a little acting around here tonight, and in a much lighter vein, because we have a little comedy sketch written especially for you and, if you'll pardon the expression, me. Carlton Cadell, while Cornell and I peek through the curtain and count the house, would you do the customary?
Certainly, Dottie. Our story opens in the outer office of Walter Spencer, success editor of the equally successful fiction magazine Weekly Review. His private secretary, Miss Johnson, is busily at work.
Mr. Spencer's secretary speaking. Sorry, Mr. Spencer's very busy. Can I help you? What's that? You want to know if Mr. Spencer's read your story? Yes, I remember the story very well. That's the one where the Viennese psychiatrist runs off with a South American heiress, and just as they get to India, her brother, the one who discovered the gold mine in Tibet, catches up to them, kills the psychiatrist, and then they escape in a jet plane, and they're all killed in an earthquake in Shanghai. Oh, you want to know why it was rejected? Not enough action. Goodbye.
Look, miss, I'm reminding you that I want to see Mr. Spencer.
Oh, are you still here?
Yes, and I intend to stay here until I see him. Remember, I told you what I'd do if...
Oh, all right, I'll go in and get him.
Yes, Miss Johnson?
There's a young lady outside to see you, Mr. Spencer.
Nothing unusual about that. Who is she?
A writer. She sent us a story.
Oh, we sent her a rejection slip. What more does she want?
Yes, but she asked if...
Give her an evasive answer. Tell her to get out.
Oh, but Mr. Spencer, she's been here every day this week, and today... Today she brought her lunch.
Yes, of course. Wait a minute. Did you say she brought her lunch?
And I'm afraid she'll leave crumbs all over the rug.
Writers don't leave crumbs. They eat them. All right, send in Miss Picnic of 1949, and if she isn't out of here in 5 minutes, break in and tell me I'm wanted in a conference.
Yes, sir.
Crumbs all over my rug.
Mr. Spencer?
Yes, won't you shut the door and come on in?
My name is Helen Renault.
And I shall cherish that bit of information. Sit down.
Thank you.
Put your lunch on the desk and let the potato chips fall where they may.
Then she told you about the lunch and how many times I've been here.
Yes, my secretary briefed me.
Well, that's more than she did for me.
What do you mean?
Well, she told me that you were a very busy man.
Well?
You don't seem so busy to me.
Do you expect me to answer phone calls, read manuscripts, interview people all at the same time? I'm an editor, not the Andrews sisters.
Well, I wouldn't know about that.
Now, my dear young lady, you really didn't come up here with your cream cheese and jelly just for the sole pleasure of insulting me.
I'm not insulting. I'm serious. Look at this.
Yes, I've seen a rejection slip before.
So have I. But the story you rejected is the one I've worked on for weeks, months. I've struggled over it.
I don't doubt it. And what did you christen it?
Love Finds a Way. I don't suppose you happen to remember it.
To put it cleverly, no.
Well, I didn't think you would, so I brought a copy with me. Here it is.
Now, let me see. Oh, yes, yes. Unfortunately, I remember now.
Well, it must have made some impression on you, then.
You mean you really want my opinion?
I do.
Now, remember, you asked for it.
I think I can take it. Well?
I'm trying to think of the exact word to describe your story, but it escapes me.
Too feminine?
No.
Erudite?
No. Ah, I've got the word.
What is it?
Stinks.
Just like that.
Well, you want me to be fair, don't you?
Well, I'd rather you be explicit.
Well, the most glaring fault is your development. plot, that is.
Well, what's wrong? The hero falls in love with a girl, I'm sure. That happens every day.
Yes, but not 5 minutes after they meet.
Love isn't very sensible.
Maybe not, but it doesn't have to get hysterical.
Oh, no? Have you ever read Byron and Keats?
Yes, and Kinsey, too. But poets, my dear, don't have to be logical.
And they don't have a 2 million circulation to worry about.
Well, my dear young lady, I'm afraid this is my lunch hour, and I'm getting hungry.
So am I.
What are you doing?
Eating. A little habit of mine when I'm hungry. Won't you join me?
Eat in my office? Are you serious?
Just send out for some milk.
Send out for... Well, why not? Miss Johnson?
Yes, Mr. Spencer. About that...
Never
conference...
mind that. Bring in 2 quarts of milk.
2 quarts of milk?
Yes.
Look, that's a typewriter I've got out there, not a cow.
Well, go downstairs and bring up 2 quarts of milk.
Oh, all right.
There are plenty of sandwiches here. Help yourself.
Thanks. Now, let's see. Where were we? Oh, yes, about your story.
Look, even if my heroine did make a mistake, why is the rest of the story wrong?
Because once you've written a poor foundation, the rest of it won't hang together. Say, is this cold pot roast?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but that's a pretty trite criticism. Can't you offer something more constructive?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I think it's wonderful.
My story?
No, your pot roast.
Please. Please, forget about the food.
Well, I must say it's quite tender in spots.
The pot roast?
No, the story. But the preparation must have taken quite a bit of time and effort.
Oh, well, what do you mean now?
No, the story and the pot roast.
Can't we stick with the story?
Well, as I've told you already, people don't fall in love that way.
Never?
Well, not intelligent people.
Would you call me intelligent?
Yes, I think you would.
Well, I've fallen in love that way.
Oh, come now. I'm not that good.
Of all the conceit, of course you're not that good.
Here's the milk. About that conference.
Not now, Miss Johnson.
But...
I'll tell you what, Miss Renault. Suppose you leave your story with me.
But you said that...
I know, but even editors make mistakes occasionally. Now, let's see now. Your address is on the story, but there isn't a phone number.
But why do you need that?
Well, you never can tell. There may be some changes that I'd want to discuss with you some night, soon.
The number is Crestdale 6745.
Oh, 6745. And the name is Helen Renault. That's right, isn't it, Helen?
You think that the story may be all right?
The story? Oh, yes, the story. Well, sure, we'll be able to fix that up.
Perhaps we won't have the hero fall in love the first 5 minutes.
Oh, now, let's not be too hasty. Editors don't know everything. Sometimes in real life, sometimes things, they just happen. Do you see what I mean, Helen?
Well, I think I see what you mean, Mr. Spencer.
Well, Spencer, now, why don't you call me Walter?
But I only met you 10 minutes ago.
Oh, but sometimes in 5 minutes, now, you said so yourself, it isn't always sane, but don't you see what I mean, Helen?
Well, I think I do, Walter.
Helen.
Walter.
About that conference, Mr. Spencer, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were already in conference.
George Gershwin has given so many wonderful, hummable tunes to the American public that it would be awfully hard to decide which one is the most popular. Chances are, though, that in any all-time favorite medley of Gershwin hits, the one chosen tonight by our crew chiefs and Hank Russell's orchestra would be right near the top. And the way they do it, it's wonderful.
It's wonderful. Must agree it's awful nice. Paradise, it's what I want to see. You've made my life so glamorous, so glamorous. You can't blame me for feeling amorous. Ooh, it's wonderful. Should care for me.
glamorous. Oh, what a spin I'm in. Can't blame me for feeling amorous when you're near. It's wonderful. It's marvelous. Fate smiled when you came by. Ever since I've been wondering why that you should care for me.
Make it a tasty new year with a Seal Test treat like strawberry dessert cakes, the dessert of the month. They're individual and delightful, cake covered with strawberries, topped with famous Seal Test vanilla ice cream, crunchy macaroons, and a festive dash of whipped cream. Dish up the Seal Test flavor of the month, too, vanilla fudge nut ice cream. It's extra good Seal Test vanilla ice cream, creamy rich as ever, plus toasty nuts and ribbons of luscious chocolate nut fudge. Double your eating enjoyment. Get both Seal Test vanilla fudge nut ice cream and Seal Test strawberry dessert cakes. Always
get the best at Seal Test.
Hello? Oh, hello, Duffy. Look, stop bothering. I'm up here with Dorothy L'Amour. Dorothy L'Amour. What does she look like? Very svelte, Duffy. Yeah, really a svelte name. Huh? Is she skinny? Well, where she has to be, she is. Where she don't have to be, she ain't. Yeah. Well, look, Duffy, I gotta hang up now. She's about to sing a song. My darling, my darling. Duffy, I ain't talking to you. That's the name of the song.
I've wanted to call you my darling for many and many a day. My darling, I fluttered and fled like a starling. My courage just melted away. Now all at once you've kissed me, and there's not a thing I'm sane enough to say, except my darling, get used to that name of my darling, it's here to stay.
Oh, my darling, I've wanted to call you my darling
for many and many a day.
I've always wanted to say my darling, I fluttered and fled like a starling.
My courage just melted away.
Just melted away. Oh.
Now all at once you've kissed me, and there's not a thing I'm sane enough to say, except my darling, get used to that name of my darling, it's here to stay, it's here to stay.
And now from Duffy's Tavern, we come to the big piece of resistance of the evening. About to step to the microphone in top hat, white tie, and sweatshirt, we have none other than Archie himself, Ed Gardner.
Well, Dorothy, I'm glad to see you again.
Well, thanks, Archie.
How's things? You working?
Archie, I have this radio show.
Oh, radio, huh? Believe me, kid, you were smart to get out of that picture racket.
Archie, I'm still in pictures, too.
Oh, you mean you're still the middleman for Hope and Crosby?
You're right.
Still hitting the road, huh? Must be fun working with them. Thank you. Must be fun working with them two guys, though, huh? What do they talk about when you ain't acting there?
Well, you know, they're both connected with baseball clubs, so all they talk about is the national pastime.
National pastime, huh? Baseball.
No, making money.
You mean there is still some left in the world that them two guys ain't made?
Archie, the money they ain't made ain't been made yet.
You're so right. That show business is a very lucrative racket, ain't it? How did you get started, Dorothy?
Well, I won a beauty contest.
Won a beauty contest, huh? Shows you what can happen if you have a lucky day.
Just a second. What do you mean, lucky?
Dorothy, them judges could have been dames. Thanks for stepping on it. You know, I have often thought of... not you, Dorothy, the fan lady. I have often thought of going into show business myself. Tell me, how much do you radio singers get?
Oh, anywhere from $100 to $5,000.
Dorothy, did you ever know that I was a singer?
Since when?
Just recently.
How recently?
Since I hear they're getting $5,000. Could you use an extra singer on the program?
Well, first I have to hear you. What kind of voice have you?
Well, I am what is called a mezzo barracuda. That's sort of a half Nelson Eddy. So what do you say? How about a job?
Well, before I could give you a job, I'd have to hear you sing.
You would, huh?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I used to be a great boy soprano, you know. In fact, I was known as the Hildegard of PS4.
Well, that's fine.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you want this job, how about singing a song?
Uh-huh. Then after I left school, I sang with this Mexican band, Jose Horowitz and his Pitkin Avenue Cucarachas.
I never heard of them.
You heard of Swing and Sway with Sammy Kay?
Yes.
With the Karuk Cucarachas. It was Come On and Get Jelly and Shake Your Tamale.
Archie, if you want the job, I'll have to hear you sing.
You'll have to hear me sing. Mm-hmm. Then from Horowitz, I went with the Canarsie Canaries.
What?
The Canarsie Canaries.
Well, just a second, Archie. The Canarsie Canaries were a basketball team.
I sang tenor and jumped center.
You sang tenor, huh?
Got you doing it.
Yeah.
Now,
well, Archie, we haven't much time. We'd like to hear from you, though.
Well, as I say, I went from there to the opera.
To the opera?
Yeah.
Well, what operas did you sing in?
Oh, all of them. That Tannenbaum. Hansel and Futzel, Meisterstinker, La Boheme, you know.
Well, what part did you sing in La Boheme?
The lead, of course, Labo. Then my next role was in an opera called The Flying Dutchman.
You sang the lead, of course.
No, in that I sang a small part. I was the smiling Irishman. Yes, Dorothy, I was terrific in the opera. In fact, they was calling me another Crusoe.
Robinson?
Of course. Then one day... You didn't think that on Ricky, whatever you said. Then one day me barber comes to the opera, and he hears me sing, see? So the next day I went in for a shave. You see this scar here where he... cut me throat?
Yeah.
From that day to this, I've been known as Whispering Archie.
Then maybe we could persuade you to whisper a number for us.
$5,000. Okay, what can I lose? Oh, the girl of my dreams is the sweetest girl of all the girls that I know. And the moonlight beams on the girl of my dreams. She's the sweetheart of Sigmund Freud.
Well, what do you think, Dorothy?
Archie, you can start Tuesday night.
Tuesday night?
Uh-huh. They're having a beauty contest in the La Brea Tar Pit.
Okay, Miss Lamour, stick with that Crosby and see how far it gets you. I bid you adios.
Thanks, Ed. Thank you so much. And now if all you girls and... Must be the Archie influence. What I meant to say was we'll be back in a moment with some news about our all-star lineup for next week.
As money goes, a penny seems a mighty insignificant sum these days. And a tenth of a cent, well, hardly worth considering at all. Yet in National Dairy's operations, we think a tenth of a cent is a lot of money. We look for every possible way to save these tenths of a cent so that we can pass them along to you. That is what we are continually trying to do. Keep prices to consumers low, quality high. Milk has gone up, it's true, but not nearly as much as other foods. In fact, since 1939, the price of other foods has increased about 50% more than the price of milk. National Dairy has not done the job alone. Modern methods on the dairy farms, efficiency in transportation, processing and distribution have all played a part. Milk is nature's most nearly perfect food, and it gives you more for your money than any food you can buy.
Cornell Wilde and Ed Gardner, I don't know when we've had a better time on the Seal Test Variety Theater. And Ed, we'll certainly be listening to you on your own show, Duffy's Tavern. Our appreciation goes out to you both since your appearance here tonight contributes to a fine cause, the establishment of the American Federation of Radio Artists Welfare Insurance Fund. Next Thursday, we'll have more great guests, including one of America's very own favorites, Dennis Day. So until that great day, this is Dorothy Lamour saying, keep well, keep happy, and keep listening.
Continuity for Seal Test Variety Theater is written by Howard Harris and Sidney Zelenka, and direction is by Glenn Hall Taylor. Ed Gardner may be heard on his own show over at NBC every Wednesday night for Bristol Myers, makers of Truchet and Vitalis. Tune in next Thursday at this same time when Seal Test Ice Cream again presents Seal Test Variety Theater starring Dorothy Lamour. Seal Test Incorporated and associate companies are divisions of National Dairy Products Corporation. This is Carlton Cadell speaking.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.